The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorontos, a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are very important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe that every song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one ranked Pesmo Radio and has listeners in all 206 countries in the world and every state in America. The station is licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and SoundExchange, and has partnerships throughout the music industry, including iHeartRadio and exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's guest is Cason Day from The Holy Veins. The Holy Veins is the solo project of actor, musician, and composer Cason Day. Officially formed in July of 2020, it is a collection of all the best sounds rock, alternative, and pop have to offer. The band's debut single, Drown, was released on July 31st, 2020, and was produced, recorded, and mixed by Cason Day. It is available now everywhere music is streamed and sold.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to The Songwriter Show, Cason. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, man.
Welcome. So you have kind of an interesting story. You know, you're an actor, musician, composer. Which one of those which one is your primary love, if you had to pick one?
You know, I think changes kind of depending on what's taking up most of my time, at that particular moment. I definitely have been more in the musician side of things lately, but, yeah, I guess it kind of depends on what I'm working on at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
When did you get into music? What was, the thing that stirred you when you were younger?
I grew up listening to a lot of country music and contemporary Christian stuff from Texas. And so I grew up around a lot of that stuff. And my dad is a musician too. So he showed me all of that and he introduced me to stuff like, you know, play that funky music and wake me up before you go-go. He showed me a lot of 70s, 80s music. And so, yeah, a lot of it started with my dad. And I started playing guitar when I was about 10 and a half. And my brother got a drum set when I got a guitar. And so that's kind of how drums came into my life and sort of just snowballed from there. And yeah, over time, I have, you know, expanded my genres a little bit to you know, more than country and contemporary Christian. I think when I first heard Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses, that was like probably the life-changing moment for me in terms of the switch from, you know, music being something I enjoyed to, you know, something I really wanted to do as a career. And I was probably 11 or 12 when that happened.
Wow. Is there a particular instrument that you favor?
I think that also is kind of whatever mood I'm in. I love playing drums, for like, you know, I've done some, instrumental music in the past. I've done some kind of progressive metal stuff. So I love drums on, those kind of projects. I love guitar. I do musical theater as well, and I love playing piano for that stuff. And, I think it kind of depends on the genre, but at the same time, you know, I am thrilled to, you know, be playing anything no matter what the genre is.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your songwriting process. Do you start with lyrics, vocals, drum groove? What do you start with?
Yeah, I think usually music will come to me first. It's pretty common for me to kind of come up with, you know, maybe an idea for a riff, or maybe it's a drum beat, but it's usually something on the instrument side. And I'll record that, or, you know, lay that down in some capacity. And a lot of times I'll try and find the melody first, and, you know, maybe just sing some placeholder lyrics for the time being. So I think that's how it goes most of the time. But I've had it the complete opposite way, where I have a very specific set of lyrics I want to write, and I'll, you know, make sure the lyrics are exactly how I want, and then I'll start the music side. But yeah, I think most of the time it's probably music first.
Okay. You mentioned one of the bands you admire. Any other famous musicians or bands that kind of inspire you, that you mimic or try to vibe off of?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so like I said, Guns N' Roses was kind of the first big one for me, and they remain one of my favorite bands to this day. I love Avenged Sevenfold. Panic at the Disco is a big one for me. Muse, Queen. I think overall a lot of my favorite stuff is very dramatic and theatrical, and yeah, I like a lot of those bands too, because they kind of are always, you know, switching things up, and that's something I try to do with my own music. And yeah, I would say those are probably my top bands right now.
Yeah, those are some awesome bands, man. Wow. Tell us a little bit about your performance stuff. Have you started performing yet? Obviously, coronavirus probably put a crimp in those plans now, but were you doing anything before the virus hit, or not really?
Yeah, I actually am really fortunate to play in a few live bands for some singer-songwriter friends of mine. There's a girl named America Jane that I have played drums for a lot over kind of the past year or two. There's a singer, Ella J. I've done kind of the same stuff for her, a little bit of guitar every now and then. And yeah, so that's where I think most of my performing was coming from the past, maybe 2 years or so. I've been in and out of a couple of my own bands in that time. And yeah, so it's sort of been all over the place. But yeah, I've been lucky to have some opportunities over the past couple of years.
Okay. Are you influenced at all by old records and tapes? Are you just into streaming or CDs? What's your preferred format?
I love vinyl, man. It's if I have, you know, a choice, I will try to, you know, do vinyl, or even just holding a CD just feels good, you know.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I really love being able to physically interact with, you know, the music in that way. That being said, you know, I have iTunes, I have Spotify, I have all that good stuff too. But yeah, definitely if I had to pick, I love records. My grandma actually gave me this huge, like, jazz big band, like, musical theater record collection a couple of years back, and that sort of kickstarted my collection, and I've, you know, added some of my own stuff since then. Fortunately, that's I'm from Texas originally, like I said, so all of that's in Texas right now, but you know, hopefully soon I can bring some of that up here with me.
Yeah,
get a record player up here too.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you teach music or anything?
I actually do, yeah. I have probably taught guitar lessons more than anything, but, you know, I'm happy to help out any way I can. I've done bass lessons, I've done piano lessons, vocal lessons, even music directed before, you know. I love teaching. I love, you know, being on the other side of of performing, so to speak. Yeah, I find a lot of joy in that.
Okay. Do you ever get nervous with live performances anymore, or are you just kind of past that stage?
Definitely. I definitely do get nervous still. Especially if we're playing a new song for the first time, that can be a really exciting, kind of nerve wracking moment. I think it also depends on the show too. I had an opportunity a couple of years back to open for, Whitechapel in, Pennsylvania, and they're one of my favorite metal bands. And, so just being on the same bill as, you know, this band I've looked up to for years, I think I was very nervous about that. And, with that band too, I usually play to a metronome in my headphones. So, I think I definitely get nervous sometimes with that too. You know, it can be an interesting challenge to try and get back on if you lose track of the metronome, you know? So, I would say it kind of just depends on the situation.
Yeah. So you're using a metronome when you're doing drums or guitar or what?
So usually I don't use one, but, for something like, that was with a progressive metal band called Fragments in Motion. I was kind of doing some, filling in for them, at a couple of shows. I believe their drummer was out of town, for school. And so, I mainly used a metronome for that, because they have a lot of their, you know, synthesizer stuff and additional guitars and keys and stuff. They have a lot of that backtracked. And so,
yeah,
that was sort of the main reason for doing that. So I don't usually use one. Definitely not opposed to it though.
I've done it both ways. I think on the one hand, if the drummer or everyone's going off the drummer, basically for me, you know, if you have a good drummer, you don't really need it, right? You could just go after everything the drummer's doing. But if you're the drummer, yeah, I can definitely see using it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about any competitions you've been in as a band or by yourself.
Sure. Let's see. Like I mentioned earlier, I come from a musical theater background too. And, kind of all throughout high school, one of my favorite parts, of doing theater was there's this international thespian festival every year. And I believe it's usually in Nebraska. That's where it was every year when I went, but yeah, that had a big competition portion of it, and people would sort of, you know, compete in these different events, whether it's, you know, singing a duet or singing a solo, or maybe it's a group acting scene. You know, there were a lot of different options for those. So that's I think where my competition time is, probably at the Thespian Festival. And I haven't done that many competitions on the strictly music side of things. I'm always looking for new challenges. And I think if something, you know, came my way, I would be very excited to try it out.
Yeah, sounds like it. Okay. How often do you practice? You know, I don't feel like any of us ever practice as much as we want to. Do you just practice when the mood strikes? Do you have a set routine? Tell us a little bit about that.
I wish I had a more set routine. I think a lot of times it is kind of when I'm in the mood. I definitely practice singing more than anything else. That is probably the part of performance that comes the least natural, or, you know, naturally to me. So I've definitely had to give that the most consistent attention, I think. I have been practicing guitar a lot more lately. And when I moved to New York, I think I kind of shifted more to guitar anyway, just because of the space that was available.
Sure.
So I've been kind of trying to practice singing more lately, practicing guitar. I don't have anything super regimented that I do when I do practice. I mean, I always try to get in some time with a metronome, you know, no matter what I'm playing. A lot of it ends up being just kind of jamming to some songs I like, or trying to learn some songs I like. So Yeah, I guess it's kind of just when the mood strikes.
Do you write all your own material, or do you ever collaborate with people? What's your process?
For the Holy Veins, I write everything myself initially, and then for something like Drown, I had my friend Cameron Bishop come in, and he actually wrote. There's sort of a funk bass kind of slap bass part during one of the instrumental breaks, and he wrote that and co-produced the song with me, and that's, you know, one really cool part I think of having a solo project is I can ask for the help when I want it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So he's been really great to work with. The singer for one of my other bands, his name's Tillett St. James. I'll definitely bounce stuff off of him too. And my mastering engineer and I went back and forth a little bit on some stuff. And I think officially I write everything myself, but you know, I'm always trying to bounce stuff off of off my friends or, you know, people I've worked with. I definitely love collaborating, even if it is something like a solo project. That's one of the most fun parts to me of this whole thing is, you know, collaborating with people. So, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about this song we're going to hear in a couple of minutes. What inspired it? What do you want us to take from it?
Yeah. So I think I came up with the initial intro riff, probably 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. It's fairly old. I think in terms of, you know, the riffs I still have laying around. I think I got the initial idea for that riff from a Muse song actually called Dead Inside. There's sort of this like pre-chorus section in that song where they kind of have this kind of funky staccato like lead line that they're playing. And so I wanted to do something in that kind of style. So I wrote that intro and then nothing for probably, you know, 4 or 5 years. And, kind of decided to, revisit it earlier this year, whenever I decided I really wanted to do the Holy Veins. I was like, oh yeah, I totally forgot about that riff I had, you know, just going through my SoundCloud, listening back to anything and everything I could find. Cause that's where I usually will upload my, riff ideas or song ideas or, anything like that. And so, yeah, I went and found that riff, came up with some lyrics I had, had bits and pieces of over the years. And, I think once I really kind of decided where I wanted to go with it stylistically and lyrically, I think I wrote the rest of it pretty quickly. From the time of the initial riff to now, it definitely took a little while to figure it out.
That's right, man. Good things are worth waiting for, right?
Right, definitely.
Yeah. All right, Casey, I'll tell you what, let's take a listen to this and then we'll come back and talk for a few more minutes, okay?
Cool, sounds great.
All right, man, let's check this out, everybody. Here you go. So many years hitting my
myself because of things I can't control. I spent so many years inside my own head, 'cause there's nowhere else to go. I try to run away, I do, but every breath is another step towards the memory of you. I've tried to drown myself, but all that I can do is breathe. And I can hardly close my eyes, 'cause when I do, you are the only one I see.
Okay, so that was a pretty cool song, man. Thank you for sharing it with us tonight.
Thank you so much, man.
You're welcome. Let me ask you something. How do you figure out if a song's going to make it to your CD or album? You know, you must write enough music. How do you figure it out? The people you bounce it off of, or what's your secret sauce there?
Yeah, you know, it can be tricky sometimes, 'cause you know, you get attached to things that you write, and you know, you want to try and convince yourself that everything is you know, worthy of making the cut. But
sure.
Yeah, I think a really important thing is what you just said, you know, bouncing it off people, and yeah, just kind of seeing, you know, how people react. Like I mentioned earlier, I've been really lucky to have those collaborators with me kind of the entire way so far, with Drown and with the Holy Veins. So, you know, even when I just had that initial intro riff, I was like, you know, Cameron, do you think this is worth spending any more time on? You know, you think this is going anywhere? And, so yeah, I think that's one of the most valuable, resources. And, you know, sometimes you just have to, you just kind of have to see what you know, what your gut feeling is. And yeah, Drown is a song I felt really good about. And, you know, obviously this has been hindered a little bit, now, but you know, sometimes performing a song can tell you a lot about, you know, whether or not it feels right. But even, you know, I still get that, you know, like tracking vocals or something. You know, I feel like I can tell pretty quickly if something's not right, or, you know, oh, this song isn't as strong as I thought it was, or,
yeah,
you know, so it can be a few different things. Yeah.
Okay. I have a really important question for you. So who would win a fight between Superman and Batman?
Oh, man. Well, oh man, I guess it's kind of who swings first. Man, my initial answer is Superman. I want to say Superman, but if Batman rolls up kryptonite in hand,
yep.
There's not a whole lot Superman can do. So yeah, I'm going to have to give it to Batman. That's, yeah.
All right. What's the coolest movie you've seen in the last year?
Ooh. Coolest movie I've seen in the last year. I have a few different answers. The first one that jumped out that I thought of, Jojo Rabbit. What is the full
Jojo
name of that
Rabbit,
one?
I think.
It's just Jojo Rabbit? That
I think so. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
I think I just went in expecting something completely different. So I think that one caught me the most off guard. That's the first one that came to mind. Let's see, what else? I've been lucky to get to watch a lot of movies during my downtime during all of this. I'm a really big fan of, you know what? I'm officially changing my answer. I got to watch, there's a documentary that Dave Grohl made about Sound City in Los Angeles. It was this really famous recording studio that when they were closing down, he bought the mixing board that they had and like put it in his home studio. And so it's this documentary about like the history of Sound City, and they interview a ton of people that have played there, you know, Rage Against the Machine, Slipknot, Fleetwood Mac, Nirvana did Nevermind there, like legendary studios. So it's like half the film's about that, half of it's about Dave Grohl kind of, you know, trying to save the console they had. And once they get it set up in his home studio, he invites all these, musicians that have played at Sound City to make this album with him on that same console over the course of like 24 hours. And so it's such an insane, just like documentary about, you know, music history. And it's, I don't know. I love it. I love it, man. I love the recording and engineering side of stuff. And, you know, just, I'm a huge music history dude anyway. And
cool.
It was just so cool, man. Dave Grohl is so awesome. I love anything he does. So yeah, I'd say that's probably the coolest movie I've seen over the past year.
So we have one of our listeners, Jacob, is asking for more information on the metronome while playing drums. He's asking if you think every drummer should play to a metronome so that the band feeds off him.
That is a thank you for that question, first of all. You know, I don't know that it's always the right fit in a live situation. I do think every drummer should practice with one for their own, for their own, skill really. I think it's a very important thing to, just get comfortable with that, you know, for your own sake. And, I think even if you're not playing a live show with a metronome at that exact moment, I think if you've practiced enough with one, you definitely can internalize a steady rhythm a little bit more. And it So yeah, I don't know that you always need one live, but I definitely always recommend trying to get in some practice with one, for sure.
Okay. You know, one of the questions I like to ask everybody is about scams. Tell us about one that you might have fallen for, one you know about, so we can protect each other.
When I was, I think 17, I played in this metalcore band, back in Houston, and, we had gotten an offer to play on this, I think they called it a festival or something. It was, you know, not really a festival. I think they were trying to hype it up a little bit. But we got put on this bill that we absolutely did not belong on. we're this like screamo metalcore band. And, you know, I think we played right after a folk singer and right before like an electronic duo. And it was just like the most, you know, the weirdest thing. But, you know, we could not have cared less. We were so excited to get offered a show for us out of town, you know. And anyway, so we got the offer email for that, pretty much signed the contract they sent us without reading it. Went to play the show, and then basically, you know, the contract that we hadn't read mentioned this whole thing about pre-sale tickets that they, of course, didn't care to make sure that we read. And
yeah.
Anyway, we play this show and end up owing the venue like $300.
Oh, man.
And, you know, we had signed the contract, so there wasn't a whole lot we could do. I'm pretty sure my mom had to help us out, and it was just very, very messy. And, yeah, you know, I think sometimes people do take advantage of young artists or of new artists just because, you know, we love music and we're so excited to just get to play music. And, especially, you know, if you're new, you might not, you know, you want to believe people are good people and wouldn't do something like that. But, yeah, I guess my advice out of that would just be kind of, especially if you're signing anything, you know, kind of read it carefully, maybe have someone else look over it. And, yeah, I think that's one I always try to watch out for now.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend, the selling tickets thing for a gig is, that's out there. All right, my friend, tell us a little bit about your contact information. Where can people buy your music, stream it, get a hold of you?
Sure. You can stream it or buy it pretty much anywhere on online, you know, iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, Deezer, you know, you name it. It's probably there. It's on SoundCloud as well. And as far as contact info, I'm at The Holy Veins on pretty much everything. I have a Twitter, Facebook page, Instagram.
Awesome.
Yeah. If you type in at The Holy Veins, you'll probably find me there. And feel free to reach out, say hello. I love, you know, meeting people, talking to people, answering questions, that sort of thing. So yeah, feel free to reach out and say hi.
It's great, Kason. All right, my friend, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
You're welcome. And to any listeners out there who may be artists, if you wish to be on the Songwriter Show, I invite you to just please reach out to me and email me. I want to thank all the fans out there for listening tonight. I hope everyone's unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sarantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show. And tonight I'm going to leave you with one of my songs called Nothing to Hide that I released a few years ago. It's a soft rock song about a man who's got nothing to hide in spite of the repeated accusations and fears of his loved one. He feels like he's lost control of his life and wonders if he made a mistake from the very start. He doesn't understand why she feels this way about a secret passion. Hope you guys enjoy it. I love you all. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great night, everyone.
Dark. Wonder if I made a mistake. morning, losing my soul.
Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.